tender protectiveness washes through me. I drop my temple to her, scent marking her. There's nothing wrong with you, baby. I like you exactly like this. And when you were polished and pretty yesterday, and last night when you were all rumpled in that cute-as-fuck nightgown, I'll take option D. All of the above. She whimpers, and the sound goes straight through my cock, forcing a burst of pre-cum. Her body responds to my thicker scent, perfuming furiously. For a second, I almost lose my grip. The urge to rut pounds at my pulse points. I swallow it down, exhaling as calmly as I can. My voice still sounds like gravel when I turn my face into hers. Tell me what this cunt needs from me. Just when I think I won't make it, my instincts are too strong, her perfume is too good. She somehow says the perfect thing.
I hate, she pants, squirming against my leg, that word.
A laugh sloughs out of me. Cunt? She's rubbing herself all over my leg, but she objects to me saying cunt? Oh my God. Could she be any more adorable? Smiling, I nuzzle another mark against her throat. Sorry, sweetness. My hands find the small of her back, massaging as I amend my request to exclude the word she hates. Tell me what you need. She whines again, the sound so urgent it breaks my brain and immediately banishes any sort of amusement.
Alpha, she squeaks. It hurts.
It has to be a heat spike. She isn't warm enough to be in a real heat, but she's clearly in pain. The only way to give her relief is easing, which is a polite way of saying she needs an alpha to make her pretty little pussy feel good. Put me in, coach. I only hesitate because I, honest to God, cannot decide where to start. It feels like waking up on Christmas morning to a mountain of presents and feeling the giddy overwhelm of not knowing which one to open first. Do I untie these bows, holding her sundress up? Or tease her through those soaked panties? Should I take my cock out? Or make her beg to see it? I won't fuck her here, as much as I'm dying to. For one, I want to take this slow. And the guys would likely murder me when we finally get back downstairs. But more importantly, omegas in spikes aren't in their right minds. I would never assume she's down to fuck when I haven't asked her. And right now, she can't really answer. So sign me up for a throbbing nod, I guess. Totally worth it. When she senses my pause, Remy's scent singes slightly. Her voice shakes.
Alpha, do you not?
Fuck that. I press my lips right over hers, kissing her long enough to halt any sentiment that would end with me not wanting her. And maybe a tiny bit longer, just to get the smallest taste of her honeyed sweetness. But God, that one little drop is like an electric charge to my cock. I grunt, the sound vibrating between our lips. She breaks off with a gasp, eyes big and round, the blue down to a thin band. Is she blushing? Oh, I'm going to corrupt this sweet girl, and she's going to love it.
Chapter 24. Remy. Where am I? Why am I here? And why is the alpha not naked? I've forgotten just about everything, but as the gorgeous, muscle-bound alpha in front of me presses closer and reaches under my skirt, I don't care. He bends his neck, putting his face level with mine. I search it, trying to think, failing, but feeling safe anyway. I know him. He's here for me. He's mine. When I rub my cheek over his blue eyes snap with electric heat. The rest of his snarling expression softens.
God, he rumbles. You are the sweetest fucking thing, pretty girl. I want to make you feel good.
His thumb skirts along the edge of my panties, brushing lightly, just a smidgen away from the bundle of nerves throbbing for his attention. I whine and squirm, trying to get him to touch me properly. The alpha's chuckle is a dark, sensual sound.
Needy girl. I love it. Want me to pet this pretty pussy, sweetness? My hair bounces around my shoulders while I nod, frantic. Please, Alpha, I'll be good, I promise.
He grins, and it's the single most beautiful face I've ever seen.
Damn, baby, Smith is going to eat you,
he says, laughing low.
Who? What? Do I even care?
Before I can figure out what he means, his smile takes on a feral edge.
You think you're a good girl? I'm going to show you just how naughty you are, baby. By the time we fuck, you'll be begging for my cum and my not. And I'll always give you everything you ask for.
There must be something seriously wrong with me, because his cum and his not sound like nirvana right now. I picture him pumping me full and knotting me deep, keeping everything he gave me right where he left it. Another high-pitched keen flies out of me. He curses roughly. His thumb breaches the edge of my underwear, dripping into the squelching wetness at my opening.
Fuck me, Remy.
He strokes through the slickness, groaning. The sound pierces me right where the unbearable pressure builds. I need him, his cock and his knot. I can feel both, and he isn't giving them to me. When my next whine sounds distressed, he hums,
"Shh, pretty girl, I've got you."
His teeth clamp at the base of my throat at the same second he glides his thumb up to my swollen bud. It's so wet, he has to press down to get any sort of friction. When he does, sensation pours through me, tightening the coil of tension pulling taut between my hips. The tease of his bite and the rough circles of his thumb have me chasing his touch, pumping against him. He snarls under his breath, scraping his canines over my throat as he releases me.
"That's my dirty girl,"
he coaxes. He slips his touch off my pulsing clit, dipping back to tease me inside. I buck harder, crying out for his knot. The emptiness has my body clenching around nothing, and he feels it. A roar rips out of his chest. He hitches me up higher, using the weight of his body to hold me half-propped on the countertop. His other hand fumbles with his sweats.
"I'm sorry, baby," he pants. "If I don't touch my knot right now, it's going to explode."
My eager moan is enough to encourage him. I try to look down and see the way he's gripping himself, but my bunched-up skirt and our torsos block my view. He hooks both arms under my thighs and reaches toward our centers. One hand grabs the hot, thick length, brushing my thigh, while the other returns to my dripping pussy. He strokes over both of us at the same time, and we both pant.
"That's it," he roughs out, hoarse. "Ride my hand, sweetness."
My body obeys, rolling into his touch until I feel the edges of my vision fade out. A rush of sensation floods my body, pulsing from my pussy as it bears down on his fingers. Damon feels me coming and growls, twisting his wrist to knead his knot. Before I've slid down from euphoria, he has my panties fisted at the crotch. With one sharp snap, he rips them right off my body and uses them to catch his own release, flattening me into the cabinets while he jets thick white ropes into the frilly blue thong. Pleasure softens the fierce lines of his expression, turning him from the determined alpha back into Damon. My Damon. While my consciousness returns, I feel a swoop of fear. Did I just humiliate myself by letting him do that? My Omega seems thoroughly convinced that this alpha is hers, but is Damon mine? Probably not. He's a famous pro athlete, and we only just met. There's no way he feels that kind of loyalty to me yet. I'm supposed to be proving myself worthwhile, and instead, I'm having Omega meltdowns and begging him to get me off? I'm surprised he hasn't already bolted. Though, as he sweetly adjusts the skirt of my dress and brushes my hair back, it doesn't seem like he's desperate to escape. He doesn't seem to be looking for the right moment to leave me or tell me I failed some sort of test. Maybe I need to give our connection more credit. They all came to get me today. That has to be a good sign, right? I'll just have to work harder at pleasing them. Keep my focus. Make note of everything they like and don't like individually. Damon clearly likes the idea of corrupting me. Cassian will probably have his own set of needs. And Smith. Smith will never love me or want me, but surely I can prove myself useful to him in other ways. I'll be able to impress him eventually, even if it's just with the cleanest house or the best meals he's ever seen. I can do this. I can make them want to keep me. Damon waits for my body to stop trembling before he gently places me on my feet and pulls his sweats back up. I'm disappointed not to get a better look at him, and his lopsided grin tells me he knows it. My ruined panties wind up in one of his pockets. He whips his phone out of the other one and frowns at it for a long second before finally breaking into another smirk.
Sweetness, I think we might be in trouble.
My stomach drops, reality sinking in. I've just basically had sex with Damon. With the door open. Did anyone hear? Were we loud? I was so out of my mind, I didn't even... Damon cuts off my anxious spiral by holding his phone up, displaying about 12 unread text messages from Smith and Cassian, or, as his phone says, Big Hoss and Beastly. It makes no sense. I fret while we both slip out of the apartment. Why would Smith blow up his phone? How would he know what we were doing? It's not like he's... Here. Standing in the hallway, arms crossed, glaring furiously. And somehow, the flagrant bulge at the front of his graphite suit pants doesn't diminish his intimidation. It only adds to the effect. The Pack Alpha holds out his hand. A demand, not a request. We're leaving.
Chapter 25. Pearson Pack Group Text. Damon, Remy's upset. Be down in 10 minutes. Cassian, is she okay? Does she need me? God damn it, Damon. Smith, Damon, answer us. I'm coming up there. Damon, sorry, couldn't really talk. Didn't have a free hand. Cassian, are you kidding me? Smith, Damon, is there something you need to tell us? Damon, other than me making your good girl come all over my fingers? No, not really.
Remy. It's hard for me to be too anxious with Damon radiating excitement behind us. He's all too happy to follow behind, making small talk like nothing just happened. When we step up to their loaded-down truck, Cassian gives him a withering look and silently stuffs a set of keys into Damon's hand before turning to lift me into the back of the cab and scoot in after me. Unbothered, Damon flashes his mischievous grin while he gets in the driver's seat.
This is Cass's truck, and he never lets anyone else drive it, so he must really be dying to sit with you, pretty girl.
The pack leader mutters something while he gets into the passenger seat and slams his door. He clearly isn't in a joking mood. His heavy brows fold over his dark eyes as he swivels in his seat, reaching into the back to buckle me in. I watch in disbelief while he adjusts the straps and even tugs on them to make sure they're secure. As soon as he faces forward, Damon throws the truck into gear, and we roll away from the curb. Cassian seems to relax when he sees that his packmate doesn't plan to run his pickup off the road. He turns, facing me with his whole body and running his eyes over me.
Oh no. Did Cassian somehow find out what Damon and I just did? It's bad enough that Smith knows, but now Cass too? Will he be mad? Will he want me to leave? Will Damon stop him?
Cassian feels me shrink down and grunts, curling one arm behind my head and reaching his free hand over to tuck a strand of hair behind my ear. He shoots Damon an annoyed look, but when he turns his face from his packmate to mine, his expression instantly morphs into soft concern.
You okay? He asks. He behaved. My heart melts. Big, grumbly bear, always protecting me, first and foremost.
I nod, my voice shaking.
Yes, he was...
I remember the way he held himself in check while still saying the filthiest, sexiest things I've ever heard.
Perfect.
One of Cass's dark brows lifts.
Perfect, he repeats. Is that a challenge, Butterfly?
He's flirting. With me? Him? Cassian? My lips fall open. You're not mad? The corner of his mouth quirks up.
Damn right I'm mad. He got to you first. I'm going to have to punch him later.
Cassian's version of flirting is so different from Damon's. It's dry, almost matter-of-fact, which somehow makes it even hotter. He drops his forehead to mine, nuzzling gently, holding my gaze while he covers Damon's scent mark with his own. Inhaling, he makes a low, growling sound in his throat. Heat flashes in his green gaze. He grinds his teeth together before he tries to distract both of us.
Did you eat breakfast?
Smith cuts in.
I'll get her fed once we're home. You two have practice in an hour and a half.
I probably shouldn't like the way they clearly discuss me among themselves. Otherwise, how would Cassian have known what happened upstairs? But it feels good somehow. Like they must really, truly care. Plus, I like being something they have in common. Cassian frowns at his stepbrother, but presses in closer, essentially letting me snuggle into his body without having to unbuckle my seatbelt. When I rest my face against the soft part of his shoulder, he gently winds his fingers into my hair, pausing to touch the embarrassing butterfly clip that I wore just for him. His touch is reassuring. Damon has a more direct approach.
You'll have to excuse Smith, sweetness, he says, still upbeat. He took the morning off to come here, and that's like an earth-shattering event for him. He'll probably have a bunch of calls and stuff to catch up on this afternoon. Plus, he's just an asshole in general. But you know that.
Well, yeah. But I can't really agree, can I? I'm saved when Smith's phone buzzes in his pocket, proving Damon's point. The pack alpha rolls his eyes while he answers, but Damon catches my gaze in the rearview mirror and winks, waving his hand at their leader as if to say, "You see what I put up with?" Everyone stays quiet while Smith goes through his work call. I get the feeling that silence might be normal for Cassian, but the slumped set of Damon's shoulders and the slight edge to his scent make me think he's struggling. While Smith argues with someone about a zoning restriction, Damon steers us out of the city center, heading toward a very familiar residential area. Through the car's enormous moonroof, the copse of ancient oak trees and Spanish moss overhead catch afternoon sunbeams, forming kaleidoscopes of leaves and light. Wind whispers through the canopy, overlapping with cheerful bird chirps and the sound of our tires bouncing over brick roads. The historic neighborhood is one of the most sought after in Central Florida. The combination of posh and homey make it perfect for well-to-do packs who also want a quiet hollow to raise a family. Under ordinary circumstances, I'd be giddy. This is my dream neighborhood, and when we turn off one of the main streets onto a quiet loop, I realize we're only a few minutes away from Meg's pack mansion. From here, I could safely walk to her house. She could come to mine. Well, not mine. Theirs. But still, I should be excited. Instead, I feel the buzz of panic humming under my skin. A pack like this, in a place like this, with an alpha who already thinks I'm incompetent? My margin for error just went from minuscule to non-existent. You practiced for this? I tell myself, bracing as Damon flicks his blinker on and begins to turn off the side street. Just remember your graces. Because I may not have had those when Cassian knew me before, but I do now. I made sure I would never disappoint any pack that might take me home, and it's time to put my money where my mouth is. The SUV rocks slightly as we exit the brick road and roll up the base of a long, curved driveway. From my vantage point behind the driver's seat, I see that the piece of property must be quite large. There's a big open lawn shaded by towering oaks. The outline of the house sits way back from the road, mostly obscured by the twisty, long-hanging tree limbs. Whoever is responsible for their landscaping needs help. The lawn is shaggy, longer in some places than others, and full of dandelion weeds. There are some dead palm fronds off to the side, piled haphazardly next to the 10-foot-tall hedge wall that seems to surround the entire lawn. Even with those hints of disrepair, the property feels stately. With a little polish, it could be beautiful. We roll up the drive slowly, prolonging the moment when we finally pass the cluster of trees and the house emerges. Oh, my Lord. It's big. And it's a mess. The structure itself is as charming and gorgeous as I ever could have dreamed. A large French-style farmhouse. With its worn stone facade, wooden shutters, and neat rows of windows, it looks like someone plucked it right out of the Provence countryside and dropped it on the Pearson Pack's lawn, aside from the fact that it's falling apart. Half of the shutters hang at awkward angles, highlighting the fact that many of their mates are simply missing altogether. The windows are covered in sawdust and pollen, a yellow film coating the crystal glass. The stone front steps and front door landing are scuffed, and there are 6 different patches of paint and whitewash splashed around the exterior, presumably because no one ever got around to actually choosing from the options. I open my mouth to ask what on earth happened here, but thankfully, I remember my manners at the last minute. "It's lovely," I murmur. "So much character." Damon snorts. "Is that code for needs a ton of pain in the ass work, pretty girl? Because in that case, Cassian and Smith have a lot of character, too." Cassian snorts. "And you're so low maintenance." Even when he frowns, Damon is too beautiful. The way his lips pout just isn't even fair. "I am," he protests. Cassian makes a rough sound that sends tingles through my belly. When he notices me squirm, he raises one eyebrow. "You think I'm exaggerating?" he says, glancing at Damon. "Just wait until you see his bathroom." I must have subconsciously convinced myself that the inside of the house would be better than the outside, because once I'm in, I'm appalled. Do these fine, successful men really live like this? Construction dust all over the floors, scratched hardwoods, furniture under tarps, and paint cans that look like they haven't been touched in months. I note holes in the walls where sconces were ripped out but never replaced, a stack of broken shutters from the outside in the corner of the dining room, and one whole room that's just furniture no one ever moved all the way in. There's also a roach on the floor. I'm pleasantly surprised to find that it's dead. So at least someone planned pest control, at the very least. But the rest of this place? It's a runaway steam engine with no brakes. Who started all of these projects, and why didn't anyone finish anything? As he watches me delicately step over the roach carcass on the threshold, Smith has the grace to look mildly chagrined. Was all of this his doing? How could someone so polished have a house that looks like this? My Omega huffs, and he had the nerve to call us incompetent? Internally, I frown at her, doing my best to keep our conflicted feelings off my face. "Hush, you."
We got a bit ahead of ourselves here," Damon pipes. "We bought the place knowing it needed renovations, but then there was a debate about whether we should choose everything ourselves or wait for our Omega."
When Smith turns to me, he waves at the wide, arched opening at the back of the dining room. His tone is all clipped formality.
"The kitchen is just through here. It's the most finished space in the house."
Damon bounds ahead, leading me out of the formal foyer, with its sanded down staircase, through the dark, empty dining room, and under the cased opening. What little air I have managed to inhale instantly flies out of me on a gasp. The rest of the house, the pack, and this day may not be anything like the fairy tale I expected, but this is my kind of heaven. The kitchen takes up the entire back half of the house, stretching from an informal living area off to the left through a charming dining nook with bench seating and curved wall of French doors, and all the way to the large collection of white-trimmed windows forming a tall arch along the back wall. I ignore the ripped-up backyard beyond the glass, turning instead to the cooking area that occupies the center of the big wall across from the kitchen table and the windows. With the natural light beaming in, the white marble counters and polished oak floors gleam, underscoring just how bare the unpainted cabinets look. I let my eyes roam over them, hunting for appliances. When my gaze trips over a white enamel stove with gold knobs, I swear my heart flips. Cassian's hand squeezes around mine before finally releasing me. When I send him an anxious glance, he nods at the beautiful kitchen and murmurs,
"Go on, I know you want to."
It's so strange how well he knows me. And really, when I think about it, I know him too. I'd bet all $280 in my bank account he has a stash of books around here somewhere, and they'll be perfectly organized, even though I'd go double or nothing, that all of his clothes are lying around in rumpled piles. I suddenly want to hug him and hold on forever. The rich scent of hazelnuts dipped in dark chocolate sends sparkles fluttering through my blood. Fresh wetness gathers between my thighs, slipping out of me along with a burst of honey cake perfume, and, thanks to Damon, I don't have any panties to hide it. Oh, Lord. I don't have the first clue how to handle this awkward sexual tension between us. We never had that kind of relationship before. Will he really want one now? His nostrils flare, his wide jaw flexing. The way his eyes soften while mine fill makes it seem like he already has his answer.
Later, he murmurs, hushed. We'll talk, butterfly.
I nod. The second I float forward, Damon swoops in, spinning me into his side and giving me a tender squeeze while he guides me deeper into the kitchen. His smile is contagious while he gestures at the beautiful room.
You said you like to bake, right, sweetness?
I did, before Smith eliminated my job. Stuffing down my grievances, I'm relieved at how easy it is to smile back at Damon. In here, I bet I can make some serious treats. His eyes light up.
Treats? For me?
I have to laugh. He's just so enthusiastic, even when he has an attitude. If you'd like, I agree. Just tell me what your favorites are.
Damon.
Smith sighs, pinching the bridge of his nose and rubbing his eyes. We're meant to be courting her, not the other way around. My mind stutters to another halt, trying to process the thought of Smith attempting to court me. I can't even form an image of that. Every time I picture us alone together, I shudder at the thought of him barking orders at me. At work, last night, he can't seem to stop himself, which means technically it isn't safe for me to be alone with him. Which is going to be an issue, apparently. Cassian glances at his phone and curses quietly.
Dee and I have to go, Rems. Morning skate starts at 9 every day, but we're usually back from conditioning by 1 or 2. I'll text you about lunch, okay?
I open my mouth. My automatic people-pleasing instinct to agree kicks in, but then I realize what he's saying. They're leaving, and I'm going to be here alone. With Smith. Chapter 26. Remy. Within 10 minutes, both of my hockey-playing alphas have enormous duffel bags of equipment slung over their shoulders as they head out the kitchen's back door. They both pause, Damon kissing me in a way that should be illegal, and Cassian sweetly nuzzling my cheek. But then they're gone, and I'm on the chopping block. The door falls shut, and I startle, my features creasing as my eyes dart around the room. Smith misreads my terrified expression as judgment and shoots me a cool look. His shoulders tense and he jams his hands into his suit pants.
It's fully functional,
he snaps, almost defensive. The kitchen? He thinks I don't approve of the kitchen? As if the rest of the house isn't 10 times worse. It doesn't make sense, based on what I've seen from him so far. Yes, he's aloof, even a bit callous, but he appears extremely put together and into appearances. Living in a half-finished house like this must be killing him. So why hasn't he done anything about it? I bite my lip, considering the pack alpha and his snarling expression. The scent of coffee is thick in the room, in the whole house, really. But at the moment, it's less smooth, freshly brewed, and more pungent, over-roasted. Stress. Which means no matter how unaffected and detached he seems, this really is hard for him. Maybe he's embarrassed? I can't say I'd blame him. This place is his responsibility, and he obviously isn't managing it in the same obsessive way he manages his businesses. Clearly, he has the money to do anything he wants. I suspect this doesn't really have anything to do with funding. After all, I'm no millionaire, but I didn't have roach remains on my floor. Or sawdust, or... Are those Cocoa Puffs? Oh, dear. Somehow, while the others were here, I managed to block out the reality of just how bad this place is. It's such a shame. Underneath all of this grime and indecision, the house's bones are beautiful. Maybe the Alpha is the same way, my Omega whispers. She's been so sassy lately, especially about Smith. This softer tone gives me enough pause to gather my nerve. Eyes scanning over the room, I search for anything I could say to put him at ease. When my focus falls on the pristine, unpainted cabinets, I get an idea. Light blue. His jaw muscle ticks, as if speaking to me in a level tone is strenuous.
Excuse me?
For the cabinets, I murmur, moving to hold the skirt of my soft blue sundress off to the side, giving him a visual of what the cabinets would look like if they were the same color, with this white quartz and maybe gold handles. Smith just stares. Geez, why is he so rude? Is it possible the scent tests and my Omega are wrong? He feels relatively safe when he isn't barking or drowning me in alpha dominance. But how could I have a mate who's so cold and demanding? And how can I make him like me? Besides, didn't Damon say they were all waiting for me? And that's why this place is in shambles? Instead of backing down, I wait politely. He eventually narrows his eyes and walks over, staring down at the portion of my dress that's pinched between my fingers, and then over at the Calcutta gold counter. Approved. My Omega instantly seethes. I know this asshole did not just hush you. I swallow the unladylike urge to guffaw, returning his earlier words to him. Excuse me? I approve, he quips, sliding his hand into his suit jacket. He extracts a flat billfold and pulls a credit card out of it. Instead of handing it to me, and, you know, having to touch me, he sets it on the quartz counter and steps back with a curt nod. For a long moment, I'm baffled. Then I see that the carbon fiber card isn't emblazoned with his name. It's the PAX. Pearson PAX. I'll call and add your name to the account this morning. The card has no limit. He clears his throat, pulling at his sleeve cuffs. Use it for whatever you need. I look down at it, trying to understand. Does he mean different clothes because I'm holding my skirt up? Surely he can't mean... Do they even make credit cards that could pay for all the work this house needs? Should we be taking out a loan against our mortgage or... Oh, they probably own it and have enough money to pay for everything outright. Smith must sense how foreign that concept is to me because he produces another card. Mallory Taylor. Miss Taylor does all of our property renovations at Pearson. She coordinates the contractors. Call her, and she'll send over crews for anything you think the house needs. Give her the credit card info to pay for the materials, and the company will take care of labor costs. My head spins as I half turn, taking in the enormity of the property and all the things it will need. A rude word climbs halfway up my throat before I stab it and swallow it down in a wad of dismay. You have to prove yourself to this alpha somehow. Guess now's your chance. To call Smith's tour perfunctory would be generous. He keeps his irritatingly handsome features set in a snarl the entire time, sloughing out one-word descriptions for each room we pass. Den, parlor, foyer. By the time we reach the second floor, I've tallied 32 things I need to attend to on the first level, and 10 are safety hazards. My sandals are pinching my toes, I'm slightly out of breath, and I almost tumbled right down the stairs when I slipped on one of the sanded, unfinished steps. Turning on the landing, Smith casts me a scowl and opens his mouth before closing it again. He clears his throat, a gesture I'm learning to associate with him forcing himself not to bark at me. I wonder whether he realizes that stopping himself doesn't really help much. His waves of dominant force still wash over me, even when he makes himself choke down the command itself. All he's accomplishing is keeping me on edge. My Omega wants to obey as much as my pitiful heart wants to please, but neither of us have any clue what the order is. My room is at the end of the hall, he says, shoving his hands into his pockets. Cassian's is the next door on the right, and Damon's is here at the top of the stairs. I follow his nods and then keep going, turning to the right stretch of the hallway and the double doors at the end that mirror the portal to his room. What's over here? He lets out a hard sigh. The Omega Suite is at the end. The rest are guest rooms and a guest bathroom. The Omega Suite. He moves in that direction and my heart somersaults. Will it have a nest? A bed big enough for Cassian or Damon to fit in it with me. Heck, I'd be thrilled with one that's big enough for me, after sleeping on an extra thin twin mattress for as long as I can remember. But Smith stops in front of the last door on the left and knocks it open. Inside, there's an unfinished guest room, covered in a thin layer of dust. A new mattress, still in plastic, sits on a metal skeleton. There's a dresser of some sort, though I can't see it because of the tarp over it. Aside from the two square windows on either side, the room is utterly empty. Not a blanket or pillow in sight. "You'll stay in here," he says, looking around the room as if it's the first time he's really inspected it. "I have to get to the office now, but I'll have the guys bring your things up as soon as they get home." My mouth drops open in shock. He isn't even going to carry my boxes in for me? He's leaving them outside? Seeing my face, Smith frowns. "Of course, you're welcome to unpack them yourself. Cassian left his keys for you. They're on the kitchen island. I'll have a set of house keys made for you at some point." At some point? And he's sticking me in here? A spare room that's literally inches away from the suite he reserved for their chosen Omega? Everything inside of me sinks. I've been in this position before. Going home with a new family, hoping they'll really invite me in, only to be given a cot in a corner or a sofa bed. It isn't so much the accommodations as what they say. And this is the Pearson PAX equivalent to a basement futon. It says, in a tone as clipped and cool as the Alpha's, "Don't get comfortable. He must really hate me. How long will he let me stay here? Can I possibly convince him to keep me?" Smith points at the one closed door in the room. My heart lifts, thinking that maybe I'll at least get a temporary nest. But he tilts his chin at it before turning to stride away. "Towels are in there."
Chapter 27. Cassian. I thought I liked silence. But the fact that not one single sound has come from upstairs in 3 hours is making me crazy. I've tried working out, reading, I've even cleaned. And Damon helped. Things around here are fucking grim. I've read the same 2 pages 8 times, and I can't remember one single word. Damon left for a workout with his trainer an hour ago, and I've been sitting here ever since, pretending I'm not glancing up at the ceiling and the Omega suite above me every 10 seconds. It doesn't help that, for the first time in my adult life, I'm horny as hell. I spent years trying to muster any sort of enthusiasm for sex with the random puck bunnies who threw themselves at me, and my Alpha never so much as glanced up. But now, just knowing that Remy is here, inside the house, has me adjusting my sweats every 3 minutes. Smith sighs from his place at the kitchen table, tapping at a spreadsheet on his iPad. "Cass," he growls, pausing me. "Leave it." I curse him out under my breath, muttering my disagreement. He lowers the paper clutched in his left hand and pins me with a severe look. "It's her first night here. We asked her if she wanted dinner, and she said no. We asked her if she wanted anything, and she said no. You offered to stay with her, but she turned you down. Leave it." But here's the thing. These specific desires may be unprecedented, but the urgency isn't new for me. I felt this way before, 10 years ago, when I woke up to the patter of footsteps. Something is pulling at me, tugging me toward the stairs, and I'm about 60% sure it's more than some pathetic desire to see her face or the ache in my knot. "Because you're such an expert," I snap back at him, ditching my book and rolling to my feet. "Fuck this. I'm going to check on her. You want to come?" He starts to get up before he forces himself back down. "No," he grinds out, almost like he's scolding himself. "She's fine, and you're being ridiculous." I shrug. He might be right. Except not really. Because when I get upstairs, Remy's suite is sealed up, and there's no light under her door. It's only 8. Is she really asleep already? She told me she hasn't been sleeping well recently, so I doubt she could pass out this early in a new place. Still, I try to move silently while I close in on her door and try the handle. It's locked. My first thought is that she's gone,
climb down a tree like the flighty little ninja she's always been, but my alpha instincts tell me she's still close by. Where would she go if she's not in her room? I stomp down the hallway, even more agitated than I was moments before. Turning for the stairs, I almost miss the faint sound coming from the other end of the long upstairs landing. It's quiet, but the second I hone in on it, my instincts fly at me. My feet move without permission, bringing me to my own room. That's where the noise is coming from. A soft, feminine voice, singing. Is that ABBA? A painful pang sinks through my chest. I remember her humming the same tune a lot back in the group home. She used to tell me that one of the best ways to feel happy was to act happy. I would catch her singing stereotypically upbeat pop music whenever she felt scared or stressed or sad. I shoulder into my bedroom, moving slowly and carefully so I don't scare her. Only she isn't anywhere I can see. My bed, God, don't look at it too long while she's in here, or you'll rut her into next year, is empty. So is the leather club chair shoved against the bookshelves. The balcony doors are shut. My bathroom looks just like I left it, which means my butterfly must be in my closet. Rems, I rasp, tapping on the door with two knuckles before I pry it open. You in here? Her singing stutters to a stop just before I see her, curled into a ball and sandwiched between my shoe rack and a few spare pillows. The walk-in is the smallest one in the house, but it's still big enough for me to step inside and turn around. Even so, she's picked the most cramped corner to hunker down in. I can't really see her face without the light on, but when I move to flick the switch, she whines. My hand falls back to my side. She begins to apologize, her voice tight.
Cass, I'm sorry. I was...
When I sink down to my knees, I can finally lean close enough to see her face. Without her usual makeup, her eyes look tired and her skin seems too thin, almost translucent. But God, is she beautiful. I reach over and smooth a thumb across her cheekbone, feeling her trembles. It's okay, butterfly. I murmur, moving closer. Did you need a dark, cozy spot? Is something wrong with your nest? She hesitates, biting her lip before she finally nods.
I'm sorry. I tried to use the bathtub in my room, but there's only a shower stall in there and...
A cold sort of fury grips my lungs. Your bathtub? Why? The Omega Suite has a full nest in it. Her teeth sink down harder, leaving her pink lip nearly white.
Smith didn't want me in there. He gave me a guest room, which is great. But, I think you guys must have been using it for storage, because the closet is full of filing cabinets and storage bins. I couldn't fit in it.
What the... Fuck? Am I going to have to kill my own brother? My teeth grind together. He locked you out of the Omega Suite. Remy's shoulders bounce on a shrug, shifting the fit of her enormously oversized hoodie.
I didn't check the lock.
But I did. That motherfucking asshole. Remy senses my rising aggression and makes herself smaller, swallowing a whine that I barely catch the end of. Forcing myself to focus on her, I shake my head and drop down beside her, somehow wedging myself between her side and the wall. My closet is the smallest one, huh? She nods again, gazing up at me without one speck of guile.
And it smells like you,
she whispers.
Your scent makes me feel the safest.
Jesus. Fucking stab me in the heart. It'll be quicker. The next thing I know, I'm stripping off my shirt and pulling her into my naked skin. Come here.
She instantly scrambles closer, whining some more while she rubs her cheek into my pecs, my throat, the underside of my chin. I groan, relishing the way her scent sends electricity through my veins. My hands clench fistfuls of her sweatshirt. It's black, just like the one I gave her back in the group home. Actually, it's about the same size, too. And it has the same bleach stain on the shoulder. Rams, I mumble into her hair. Did you keep my hoodie all this time? She whimpers as her scent darkens in shame.
Yes.
I hug her harder, concentrating on not crushing her. It's hard to focus when I feel breathless. Why? She cringes in my arms.
The day you gave it to me was the day I had to leave.
Because her designation came through. I recall the other girls whispering and giggling about it that night in the mess hall. It was the only time in my young life I'd ever considered fighting a group of chicks. Remy stares, willing me to understand some unspoken confession. It takes me a moment, but I finally snap the pieces together. It was... you reacted to the sweatshirt. To me. Her entire body sags with relief and dejection. She drops her gaze down to my chest.
Yes, and I felt so guilty and embarrassed about it. I just wanted to leave before I saw you and it happened in front of you. It all feels so stupid now, but at the time, I honestly couldn't think of anything more humiliating or violating than perfuming for you and forcing you to have to acknowledge it.
She leans back and bites her lip, apprehension all over her pretty face. Hell, does she want me and worries I don't feel the same way? Is she scared I'll reject her for some reason? I see the way she holds herself around Smith, all prim and proper, every expression pleasing or passive. I hate the thought of her putting on some sort of act for me. Fuck that shit. We didn't need it back when we were friends, and we're not going to do it now. I cup my hands around hers, holding them between our chests. Rams, I just want you to be yourself. And in case I haven't made myself clear, I want you. I'm hard because of you. Not just your scent or any of the Alpha Omega stuff. It's you. If I'm being honest, I always had feelings for you that were more. I was just an idiot, and we were young. But the way I feel about you has never had anything to do with you being an Omega or me being an Alpha. Pretty sure I knew you were it for me the second I saw that pink sparkly butterfly clip in your hair. Crystal tears spill over her cheeks, splashing down onto my pecs. I let the purr strangling my lungs come out, unleashing the full force of the deep rattle for the first time in my life. It feels good, really fucking good, when she whimpers and scrambles into my lap. Nothing has ever felt like this for me. Is this what people are going on about? Why Damon always hit it with as many puck bunnies as he could get his hands on? I thought there was something wrong with me. A missing piece. Maybe it's her. The way I feel about her. This aching smolder in my middle every time our eyes meet. It warms my blood and fires my nerves until every place her skin brushes mine leaves simmering pleasure behind. And, God, I want her. My body craves hers in a primal, carnal way I'm unfamiliar with. I can't explain it. All I know is the thoughts running through my head are new and all-consuming. How tight and slippery would she feel around my cock? If I made her come, would I be able to feel it squeezing me, bringing us even closer? She tucks her chin into her chest, hiding her face while she whispers, "Can I tell you a secret?" It's only fair, since I have a feeling I'll be confessing a few of my own before the night ends. Of course. I've thought about you, she whispers.
Every time I have a heat, imagining you there with me was the only way I could get through the fear. I always felt safe with you and the pain.
She breaks off on a squeak that slices my heart.
You were the one thing that made me feel better. And then, after it had been years, I thought about what you probably looked like now, and it always turned me on.
Her whispered words hit the hollow at the base of my throat and sink down. The feeling, this soaring, bursting, bleeding feeling in my chest almost overwhelms me. It's too much too soon to go from years of empty nothing to this. I breathe hard, bracing myself to tell her what needs to be said. Remy. Jesus. I never expected I'd ever have to tell anyone this. Never expected anyone would care. But I know Remy does. This will mean something to her, and that's what matters. I never wanted anyone else, I murmur. After you left, my alpha and I didn't even notice other girls or guys, and I couldn't seem to force it, so I just let it be. I look at her, and she stares back. 1,000 words fill the silence between us, all of them unspoken, but somehow understood. She only says 4, but they're perfect.
You waited for me.
And yeah, I really did. Because I was always meant to be hers. All this time, all these wasted years, I grind my teeth, swallowing the hoarse lump in my throat. Remy's tears glisten in the low light. An ache reverberates through my depths, down into my fucking soul. It turns my purr into a pained, serrated rumble. I'm yours now, I tell her. But I don't think that's a new thing, Butterfly. I was always yours. I always will be.
Chapter 28. Remy. Cassian's eyes burn, the dark green smoldering. My heart beats in my breast, pounding shivery adrenaline and thick arousal through my veins, the hot and cold twining. In this small space, Cassian's rich scent presses all around me. It's the reason I came in here. I wanted this exact feeling, my alpha all around me. He's inside me, too. Not physically yet. But when he made his confession, I felt him reach in and touch a part of me no one else ever has. He understands me. Still, after all this time, the parts of me that don't even make sense to myself are crystal clear to Cassian. He knows me so well, but he's still here. He's still mine. I was always yours. I always will be. Straddling his lap, my forehead only reaches his cheek. I nuzzle there, whispering against his jaw. Tell me what you want to do. We can go slow or wait. Very deliberately, he wraps his huge hands around my hips and brings my body flush with his, seating my wet panties directly over the firm girth tucked into his waistband. Our eyes lock, his roiling with a seething sort of certainty. I did wait. For you. For this. And now I want you so badly I can't even fucking think, Butterfly. Please. His gruff sincerity is almost as sexy as his big, hard body. My perfume floods the closet, slick squelching through my pajama bottoms to coat the outline of his cock. Shudders roll through him as a rough sound scrapes out of his throat. I ride a burst of insane bravery all the way to Cassian, falling forward and pressing my mouth over his. Our lips brush and part, clinging for one sweet second before his tongue slips into my mouth. He grunts, catching me with both hands wrapped around my arms before clutching me closer. One brawny hand slips up to grasp the messy bun at the back of my head, while the other slides to my waist and tugs me against his erection, grinding. His length strains under his pants, pressing into my molten center. When I take over and set a rhythm, his eyes turn wild, shaking breaths punch out of him. The wet fabric between us sticks and chafes. Biting my lip, I stretch up and touch the drawstring of my shorts, a question clear on my face. Cassian answers by setting his fingers over mine, pushing the damp cotton down, bearing me to him. While I balance on my knees to get them all the way off, he shoves his own pants down. His erection springs free, instantly jerking up to the thick lace of his abs. Oh, my Lord. He's huge. I mean, I guess I expected that. It makes sense, since the rest of him is large. But Damon is only a bit leaner. Are all alphas this big? Apart from the silicone penises stashed at the very bottom of one of my boxes, I don't have much to compare him to. The alphas at the heat clinic were all anonymous. They walked up to my little cage, saw my presented hindquarters, and went to town without so much as glimpsing my face. This is my first time ever looking at a man's manhood. I definitely shouldn't squeal. That would be so dorky. When he sees the way I've frozen, half naked and halfway over his erection, Cass flashes his rare, beautiful grin, his green eyes crinkling. He smooths both hands down my face. The tender motion matches the low purr under his voice.
You can touch it. Are you sure?
I ask, and instantly feel like an idiot. Cassian's chocolate hazelnut goodness gets deeper. His thumb caresses my lower lip before he offers another of the short-lived but beatific smile.
Very sure.
I wrap all of my fingers around him, stretching to fit his girth. A rumbling growl layers over his purr while he watches me glide light touches up the length. I feel him pulse against my palm, the wide crown already weeping. Curiosity gets the better of me. I bend forward, dipping to kiss it, and coming away with his essence on my lips. Cassian's deep, shredded groan shudders through me the same second his taste hits my tongue. A desperate whine slips out as I stroke him harder, hoping to lure out more of his salty, dark chocolate pre-cum. His hand closes over mine, slowing me. In a blink, he has our bodies repositioned, my slick, empty center clenching just inches above the hard throb of his cock. He spreads his legs, hooking my knees around them to spread me wide too. His thighs feel as thick as tree trunks and every bit as solid as the steely length I just tasted. My hands go to his wide, muscled shoulders. He's solid, covered in warm, perfectly tan skin. The tendons in his neck strain under my touch, his strength unyielding while he stares back at me and clenches his jaw.
I want to feel you,
he rasps, pupils blowing wide.
You'll take it and use it however you want. Get yourself off on my knot. Rub your sweet little pussy all over me.
He may not be experienced, but Cassian is a true alpha. He already has me in his thrall, pumping out solid, soothing certainty as he continues to hold my gaze.
Relax, Omega, he says. Don't think about it. Just do what feels good. Can you do that for me?
Right now, I feel like I could do anything for him. Happily.
Yes, Alpha. He lets his head fall back on a groan. My perfect fucking girl, he rasps. Always my girl.
His bare cock pulses when I press down onto it. The feel of our bodies colliding, the slick friction between us is delicious. His biceps flex as he manhandles my thighs, easily picking up my rhythm and holding my entire weight. My clawed hands go to his shoulders, blunt, pink nails tearing into his skin. He loses another growl, flexing a wave of alpha power that hits me square in the chest. When the rolling motion of my body stutters, he cups one hand around my nape and looks right into my eyes.
Mine, he growls. And you're going to come on this dick.
He's right. I am. When he puts a hand on my waist and guides me all the way down along the underside of his soaked cock and rubs my clit against the thick swell of his knot, everything flashes white. A shriek sails out of me while my core pulses, pleasure coursing through every nerve. Cassian starts purring before my cheek even lands on his chest. Beneath me, his entire body is as hard as a rock, the muscles tense and trembling. But he holds me so carefully, tucking his face into my hair and breathing hard.
Remy, do that again. I giggle softly. I don't know if I can.
His huffed laugh quivers.
You want to stop?
We're still on the floor of his closet, but he doesn't seem to mind. I do my best not to shift around on top of him too much as I lean back, finding his heated gaze. "What do you want to do?" I coax, reaching over to smooth my palm over his stubbled cheek. His ferocious features melt slightly.
"I was going to suggest we..."
He doesn't say it. Instead, his eyes drop to my lips. Two green lasers trace the overbitten curves, and I realize he wants to kiss me. He wants to keep going. This big, grumpy mountain of muscles and menace wants me, but he doesn't know how to ask. My heart cramps as a true grin stretches over my face for the first time all day.
"Alpha,"
I whisper, shuffling closer, pressing my hips to his.
"Did you want something?"
I should have known better than to poke the bear. He makes a deep sound that shoots straight to my core, strumming at the throb between my legs and turning my nipples to stiff points. Fire flares in his irises as he snaps his arms closed and growls.
"I want everything."
If I thought I'd get away with teasing him just because he hesitated, I was wrong. One hand grips the curve of my hip to grind me down into his lap, while the other covers the nape of my neck, holding me still for ravaging. The kiss isn't gentle, the way it might have been 10 years ago, and it isn't anything like Damon's teasing, flirtatious dance. No, Cassian kisses with ferocity. Some mind-bending, panty-melting blend of unbridled passion and raw strength. I gasp as his tongue slips into my mouth, rubbing along mine in a forceful glide that liquefies my insides. Fresh slick gathers at the tops of my thighs. When Cassian snarls into my mouth, I know he can feel it. We kiss until my lips are tingling and his rich hazelnut scent has turned my thoughts into a thick, dizzy soup. Until my legs are shaking and I can't help but whine for him, the sound betraying how desperate I am to feel him deeper inside me. With a roar, Cassian rips me upright, positioning his throbbing cock right against my soaked slit. The touch of his hot, solid length is enough to have me gushing more, mewling just from the heat of his body and mine. Cass stares at me, his eyes somehow wild and tender at the same time.
"Do you want it?"
he rumbles, fingers biting into my thighs. When I keen, digging my nails back into the firm flesh of his shoulders, he lifts me straight up, pausing when I'm hovering over his crown.
"Do you want me? Like this?"
"Yes," I nod, frantic. "Yes, Cass, please."
"Not or no not?"
he asks, wild green eyes bouncing between both of mine. I start to tell him to knot me as deeply as he can, but my core cinches tight, remembering the pain I experienced in that heat clinic. Cassian reads my answer before I've even had time to process it.
"We'll wait,"
he decides, projecting that same smooth certainty that soothes every insecurity. Gratitude and affection fill my eyes as my forehead falls to his.
"Yes, Alpha,"
I say again, whispering. He loves that. Heat shimmers in his irises, his pupils edging the green into a thin band. With the same gruff gentleness he reserves just for me, Cassian kisses me hard and tilts his chin to our laps.
"Take it."
He holds himself still while I lower myself onto his length and moan at the slick, delicious stretch, my inner muscles instantly clamping around his thickness. His chest heaves, vibrating with growls he has no prayer of swallowing.
"Fuck, you feel like heaven. Jesus, your pussy was made for my cock, wasn't it, Butterfly?"
"Yes, Alpha," I say again, unable to resist bouncing on him. When he bottoms out deeper than I ever thought possible, I scream and he goes wild, pumping his hips in the smooth, powerful bursts of a true athlete, somehow doing all of the work despite my position on top of him. I can tell he's close when his pants turn to ragged half-breaths. He grabs my nape, pulling my face to his.
"Come here."
The new position presses his pulsing knot right against the bottom of my buzzing clit. He makes a circular motion one way and then the other, capturing my high-pitched whine with his lips. His tongue slides against mine the same moment my second climax hits, locking my muscles around his girth. He answers with a deep moan of his own, spurting hotly, while he groans into my mouth. And you know what? I take it back. I should definitely poke this bear. way more often.
Chapter 29. Damon. Did you know that being incurably horny makes cardio a hell of a lot easier? Just something I learned during my home workout this morning, after waking up to an upstairs hallway that was absolutely soaked in the scent of honey-drenched sex. Tossing a set of 30-pound free weights onto the rubber mat on the floor of our converted garage, I remind myself that I have a plan here. I want Remy to know how much she means to me. I want to know how much she means to me before we go there. I tell myself this is normal. Google even said so. Packs and bonds develop at different speeds. And Cassian got a 10-year head start, the bastard. I'm considering another 20 minutes on the treadmill when he comes shuffling into the gym. For the first time in a long-ass time, there isn't a scowl on his face. In fact, one might even call that a smile. Sort of. It strikes me that this is an opportunity. It's been years since we talked as much as we have in the last 24 hours. Maybe I can keep the momentum going. I've never been prouder than I am in this moment, I joke, gesturing at the nail marks visible under his gray tank top. So our girl's a scratcher, huh? I'm expecting some version of fuck all the way off, Damon. But instead, Cassian winces. Uh-oh. Considering I can't remember the last time he even talked to a girl, there's a chance he might have had some stamina issues. What? I ask, pausing at the look on his face. Were you rusty? His cringe stretches into a grimace. I wipe a towel over my forehead and drop onto the weight bench, giving him my undivided attention, along with a shrug I hope looks casual. You can tell me. I won't be a dick. Just this once. He lets out a deep breath, hanging his head back to mutter at the ceiling. I cannot believe I'm doing this shit. He rolls his head forward and his shoulders back. I'll make you a deal. Oh, fuck yeah. I'm listening. His face falls into his familiar frown, but he lays out his offer anyway, snapping in his no-nonsense way. I'll teach you all about Remy if you teach me all about sex. I blink, then blink again. Okay, we can trade information, he goes on, since you don't know anything about her yet, and I don't know anything about fucking or nodding omegas, or anyone. My eyes bug out. Not until last night, he grits. And she's happy. Very happy. But she's also the sweetest fucking thing. And I know she wouldn't necessarily tell me if she wasn't happy, so I need to learn everything. My mouth drops open. So, wait. Wait. This whole time, you were... Yes, he grinds out, losing his patience. Jesus, do you want to trade or not? I picture us trading tips. A smile stretches over my face. I reach behind myself and hand him one of the weights I was using. I know from experience, sometimes when you have to humiliate yourself by admitting you need help, it's easier when you have something else to pretend to do. It works. He sits opposite me and starts doing curls. I watch the way he takes a deep breath and holds it for a second, feeling a pang of sympathy for him. All this time, my random hookups and the bits of connection they provided were the only way I stayed sane. But Cass has been totally alone. More alone than I